about that, folks. I feel very fortunate. We have with us as our guest for the next two segments, Patrick Wood. He's the author of Technocracy Rising. It, by far, one of my favorite books. It connects so many dots. It explains so much. And, of course, his website is technocracy.news. That's technocracy.news. And what you're hearing tonight really kind of, to me, it just connects the dots. And it's, and I said PhD level stuff, college level stuff. In a way it is, but in another way it's very simple. It's transparent. He really does a great job in explaining to us what's really going on. Before we get back to Mr. Wood, I want to ask you folks, you know, are you sitting back now just because Donald Trump is in office and thinking, oh, hey, you know what? We kind of made everything is going to be just fine. Well, I dare say not. If you're not using this time, this calm before the storm, to shore up your preps, I think you're missing the boat. I want to direct you to Minuteman Rocket Stoves, okay? MinutemanStove.com, MinutemanStove.com. It makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for cooking, and the Minuteman Rocket Stove is just that. And the Minuteman Rocket Stove can provide your family or any group, if you're in a group or family or whatever, the actual the key, the perfect solution to cooking. It's a small, lightweight, wood-burning ammo can turned into a rocket stove, and it's every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. With decent wood, it's smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. It is so efficient. It makes really a tenth of what you would need for ordinary fire is all that's needed to fire up your Minuteman. Don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Eventually, that fuel supply is going to dry up. Burning wood inefficiently, it's going to require a lot of manual labor. That's why you need this stove. The Minuteman solves all of these problems. It's easy to feed and use. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman Rocket Stove today. It will make those rough times a lot better, a lot easier to handle. By the way, their products are all handmade in the United States. That's important to us. Handmade in the U.S., in North Carolina. They're extremely rugged. It comes with a two-year warranty. I got to tell you, no one's ever taken advantage of the two-year warranty because they didn't have to. It's made that good. And check out their array of fire starters as well. My goodness, their fire starters are just absolutely incredible. I've used them, and I've never used... I mean, they are the best of the best of the best. That's MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com, MinutemanStove.com, and make sure you tell them you heard this on the Hagman Report. Patrick Wood is our guest. Technocracy.news is his website. Rigor mortis. We left off with rigor mortis, how bad it would be. I was, during the break, Eric was doubled over in his, Eric the tech was doubled over in his chair. You know, when he said that was a great line. Yeah, do tell. I mean, what would it look like? It would be, or yeah, you don't have to go there. I mean, go anywhere you want. But my goodness, wow.
I don't mean to scare your audience, and I hope they're not scared. But somehow the message needs to get across. If we let these wackos destroy our economic system that has made us great, we're done. You don't have to worry about electing another president. There won't be any more elections. These people want to get rid of our electoral process. They want to get rid of Congress. They want to, what do you need politicians for anyway, they say? They're just a bunch of idiots. They just get in the way. They're ignorant and they don't understand the technology that they're trying to manage. This is their attitude. It's the attitude they had back in the 1930s. It's identical. I've listened to these guys speak and write for 40 years, Doug. They are off the rails. They're absolutely off the rails. And yet, they're the ones now that got the upper hand. They got the United Nations on their side with 200 nations in the world signing on to all this stuff. They've got untold billions of dollars that they've racked up over the years And I won't say how, but they racked it up and they've got it, and you and I don't. Well, I don't. I can't speak for you. Maybe you've got 20 million, 20 billions stuck away somewhere.
Let me check. Eric, pull up that mattress, right? Nope, I don't think so. Nope. Yeah, not us.
My mattress is pretty flat too. And I don't have a safe buried in my back of my yard either with, you know, a ton of gold in it or something like that. But these people are dead serious about what they're doing. And I have to say, they are sincere in one sense. You know, that they have this core belief that they're sticking to over a long period of time. And so when I say they're sincere, they really believe what they're doing is right. But they're sincerely wrong.
Mr. Wood, explain that. I guess I can understand sort of. How can anyone believe that? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I don't get out enough. I don't know. But really? They believe that they're right?
They really do. Something happens, I don't know, to some people, not all people, but to some people when they get a PhD, something snaps in their brain. You know, it's like they've been initiated into the club or something, and you know, all of a sudden they're Ellis. Like some doctors have this attitude, right? That they're like God, right? And they say, well, what do you mean you're not going to do what I tell you to do? You better. It's like, well, excuse me, who appointed you Lord and Master over my life? I mean, I want your advice. I don't want your dictating to me.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know. I can't explain it. But they are sincere. They're unwavering. It's not an act, in other words. Maybe that's a better way to put it. They're not putting on an act.
Right.
They really believe what they're doing. Now, when you study Parag Khanna, and I hope people will go take a look at it. I hope people will actually go and get the Kindle version of his book, Technocracy in America, and read it. Don't take my word for it. Go read what he says. One of his books, he wrote another, actually several books. He wrote a couple of them just more recently as well. One of his books is called Connectography. And the subtitle is Mapping the Future of Global Civilization.
Oh, boy.
Now, how do you like that for a title? I still say you should read the book. Don't just rely on the title to jump to conclusions, right? But he's into a borderless world. He thinks we should have a borderless world where the new actors of global civilization are the megacities and the mega regions of the world. That are connected by infrastructure, and he talks about infrastructure incessantly, by the way, everything from sewer systems all the way to fiber optic cables and airplanes and high-speed rail, and, you know, infrastructure is infrastructure. He talks about connecting the city states of the world together in such a way that the world becomes essentially one giant integrated city.
And if I can interrupt you right there, that makes perfect sense when you talk about, like, for example, the elimination of the Electoral College or the elimination of the Senate and you know, putting the Constitution under the Supreme Court for revision. But just the first two I mentioned, it makes perfect sense now. Now it makes sense to me.
It does. It does. So. You know, they're looking, and it's not just him. This is the global elite's attitude right now. A borderless world is what they're envisioning. And they're envisioning on connecting all the cities of the world with this infrastructure, as they call it. Communications, mostly communications, but also by within continents, by high-speed rail, by other types of transportation systems and so on. And fiber optic, especially with the Internet, you know, expanding the Internet of Things, tying everything together. running the world by big data. In fact, the subtitle of Technocracy in America book is Rise of the Info State. And of course, we can identify with that, I think, just Rise of the Info State. Oh, yeah, you're talking about all of the spying, surveillance, all that kind of stuff. Yep, that's what it is, all right. So his book, Connectography, brings up a new concept. called functional geography. You and I grew up with, I suppose you had to take geography in school somewhere along the way. I did.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And I had to learn about, you know, what countries are where, and what I had to memorize a bunch of stuff. But
yep.
We understand topical geography, second nature to us. He talks about the importance of functional geography and says that functional geography far surpasses the importance of geographical stuff, just, you know, where stuff is, borders and stuff like that. And this functional part has to do with how these megacities are turned into smart cities through the Internet of Things and through total management of the population. This is functional geography to him. Where are the economic centers of the world? Well, they're the cities. That's where everybody lives. And so, well, when you connect the cities together, what do you get? Well, you get all kinds of interactivity and interaction, and, you know, one guy's going from this city to that city, and you got the, economically speaking, you've got the supply chain going on where people are passing goods and things, manufactured things, all around amongst themselves to get a final product to go out to consumers. And this is where his head is at. Now, listen, he wrote another book. This one will kill you. Well, not really. I shouldn't use that word kill. But this
I know where you're going. I know.
Hold on to your chair. Another book he wrote, the subtitle is, I'll give you that first, Charting a Course to the Next Renaissance.
I knew that's where you're going.
The title is How to Run the World.
Oh, man.
How to Run the World.
Can we say hubris?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, he doesn't look at it as hubris. He looks at it as a great opportunity to connect all the cities of the world, to build out infrastructure and blah, blah, blah. And it's going to be a great economic time for everybody. You're all going to love it. Now, he wrote another book based on his TED Talk. He's done several TED Talks over time. And I have to say, Khanna is a compelling guy. He's handsome. He's young. I think he's under 40 still. He's brilliant. He's articulate. He has really nice mannerisms. He's the kind of guy you'd look at him and say, I wish I knew that guy, you know, just personally. I just wish I knew him and could sit down and have a cup of coffee with him or something, you know? He's that kind of guy.
Like, kind of like me without all of those good traits.
Oh, there you go. right. Well, here's another book that he wrote, or this might actually be a TED Talk. I'm not sure. I think he made a pamphlet out of it. It's called Hybrid Reality. I love this. I got to get my hands on it. I still don't have it. I'm going to. The subtitle of this, Hybrid Reality, is Thriving in the Emerging Human Technology Civilization. Thriving in the Emerging Human Technology Civilization. And on the heels of those three books, again, the first one was Connectography, Mapping the Future of Global Civilization. The second one was How to Run the World. The third is Hybrid Reality. On the heels of these books, he produced and wrote Technocracy in America, Rise of the Infostate. Now, how much handwriting do you need to see on the wall before you realize that, you know, that this is real stuff?
Yeah.
You see, what this guy has done for me, just personally, I don't call this bragging necessarily, but what he's done for me, he's validated everything in my book. He's tied technocracy to the United Nations, because he is Mr. United Nations. He's tied it to all the smart city stuff, all the Internet of Things stuff, which I taught, all the surveillance stuff, which I write about extensively. He's all the different policies, sustainable development, green economy, all that stuff. He's tied it in because that's what he's been writing about for years. And now he comes out with this book, Technocracy in America, and says what America needs to fix its troubles is a direct technocracy.
Mm.
He ties it all together. It's like, okay, I was right, and all my critics are washed up. Except that all my critics are Americans, and they're citizens, and I want to go back and just smack them and say, look, can you get a life here? Can you read? Who wrote this book, Technocracy in America? Was it me? No, it wasn't me. It was this guy. Who's this guy? Well, he's one of the 75 most important people rated by Esquire magazine in this entire century, as they see it right now. Would you listen to him? Would you consider his viewpoint on this? Yeah, I've called this stuff, Doug, I've called this anti-American for a long time. I just kind of cut into the chase, you know, with local city officials and stuff, whatever, that are, you know, pursuing these Agenda 21 policies that they really don't know anything what they're doing, but they're doing it, and they're taking all the clickbait stuff from the United Nations and implementing it in our local communities. And I say to them, well, you know, what you're doing with this general plan or whatever, this is really anti-American, what you're doing here. Oh, what do you mean by that, anti-American? Well, it is anti-American. This is not the American way. This is United Nations way. And United Nations hates our guts. And so what you're doing is basically anti-American. Oh, they can't ever get over that, by the way. I've never had one yet that did. They can't get over it. So, but it is anti-American. These people want to destroy America. Listen, he didn't go to Germany and write a book called Technocracy in Germany. He didn't go to South Africa and write a book, Technocracy in South Africa. He didn't go to Canada or Mexico. He came to us, and he says, this is your prescription. I'm the doctor. You're the patient. You're sick. I have the answer. I have the magic pill. You need direct technocracy in your country. And this is what I've been warning people about now for several years, that this is real. It's not a joke. It's not a drill. It's the real deal, and they are absolutely intent on sinking our ship. You know, I found a number of interesting charts on Dr. Khanna's website about connectography and how the world is all hooked together with these various things. And some of it's kind of cool to look at, honestly. I spent 30 minutes with one of these charts just kind of staring at it. Wow, that's really something. You know, I didn't know that. But I ran across one chart of North America with a whole bunch of infrastructure lines and railroads and, you know, whatever, high-speed rail, plans or whatever. And at the top of this chart were three words that gave me a deja vu and knocked me back about 10 years. The words that appeared at the top of this chart are North American Union.
Ooh.
You remember? I'll bet you remember a lot about the North American Union flap that we had 2005, 6, 7, with the Trans-Texas Corridor, and with, you remember, you remember the Three Amigos meeting, and the Three Amigos were the President Bush, the President of Canada, the Premier of Canada, and the President of Mexico. We called them back then the Three Amigos because they got together and summarily decided that they were going to merge our countries together and we're going to be one big happy family.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, a group of activists kind of derailed that plan and sent them back to the drawing board. And they didn't do what they wanted to do. The Trans-Texas Corridor that was promoted by Rick Perry, by the way, who was the governor of Texas at the time. I'm a little concerned that Perry is going to be in Trump's administration, but that's another story. But the North American Union got derailed And the Trans-Texas Corridor never got out of Texas. They stopped it at the Oklahoma border and says, not just no, but you know what no. In other words, starts with H. And they said, you're not going to build 1 foot into Oklahoma. And they just turned them around, sent them home. But the North American Union, when I saw this on CONUS website, this is 2017, 10 years later. The architect of the North American Union was Dr. Robert A. Pastor. He's now dead. He died, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. And he was a highfalutin academic, whatever, but he was the guy that was driving the whole process for the North American Union back in the mid-2000s. When I saw this chart on CONUS website with the words North American Union at the top of this chart, I was shocked. Not a whole lot shocks me these days, you might gather, but I looked at this, I was shocked. I said, it's like, holy crud, it's back. It never died. I knew it wasn't going to die, but I said, this guy has picked up the trail and he's documented it for us now. Okay? I mean, from my point of view, when I look at connecting the dots, okay, when I see the patterns emerge, when I see, I know you'll appreciate that a lot of good crime solutions are discovered by patterning, by patterns, rather than a single smoking gun.
Yep.
I look for patterns. Professor Sutton taught me to do that. Look for patterns and things. You'll understand more about it, whatever you're looking at, than any other way you could look at it. Look for patterns first, then drill down. Well, here we have a pattern stretching across 10, 12 years. The North American Union is still alive and well in the halls of academia. It's still here.
Wow.
It's on his website. I would encourage people, if you don't believe me, beat a path to Dr. Khanna's website. It's pragkhanna.com. Just type his name into Google or whatever, and you'll find it really quick. Drill down at his website. You'll find that chart of North America where it says North American Union right smack dab at the top of it. And it includes Mexico and Canada. This was the same thing that the technocrats wanted to do back in the 1930s, Doug. They wanted to have they called it a North American technate. And they wanted to combine Canada, Mexico, United States, plus all of Central America, plus the northern cap of South America. That was to be the North American technate. All one big happy family. running a common infrastructure.
Going back to the 30s even.
Yes.
Again, you know, I heard what you said earlier, but just to hear it again.
Yeah, I know. This is Dr. Parag Khanna. I introduce him to you, and I introduce him to your audience. This is a man that we need to study as hard as we studied Zbigniew Brzezinski. We need to unpack what he's saying. We need to get inside his head and understand what he's saying. I just encourage people, don't do the knee-jerk reaction thing and say, why, that's an evil, blah, blah, you know, son of a gun. And don't get emotionally charged up over this exactly. But you owe it to us Americans, to walk in his shoes for a while and see what he's thinking and why he's thinking what he's thinking. If you want to know what they're planning for us, you've got to take the time to go in and discover what they're saying, what they're thinking, what they're talking about amongst each other. You know, a bunch of his speeches, for instance, are on YouTube. He's been, I mean, you wouldn't believe some of the places this guy's spoken. Just hugely global elite places, you know. These speeches are there. You can go listen to them. Nobody else is listening to them. I found one of his speeches that was about 3 months ago, and it was a really fancy presentation. I don't remember the location now, but it was like at a university or something, and he gave a really solid presentation. It was professionally filmed and, you know, the whole bit. I discovered this on YouTube. I was looking around. You know how many views that his presentation had received by the time I looked at it, some 4 months after it was initially released? Catch this now, 24.
Wow.
Well, it's sitting there. Anybody could go, but, you know, YouTube is a tool for the masses, right? It's not really something that, I guess, that the global elite go to. But listen, we should be taking a video like that and making this guy famous. You know? Not
for
famous,
the right reasons.
For the right reasons. I mean, let's just lay this out there and see how the world feels about this.
Fantastic, you know? Information. Mr. Woodward, hold that thought. This is amazing. And what we're going to do, folks, we'll have this information that Mr. Wood has given us. And what a gift, too, because this is ammunition. And this is necessary field of study, I believe, in order for us to effectively fight and effectively put up that bulwark against what they want to do to us, subjugate us, and enslave us. And again, Patrick Woods, our guest, Technocracy Rising, technocracy.news is his website. Folks, remember, right back, stay right where you're at. So proud to have with us Patrick Wood. He's the man behind technocracy.news. He's the author of Technocracy Rising. It's an incredible book. We're talking about a guy that wants to tell us how to control the world, basically. It's interesting because, well, his name is Dr. Parag Khanna, and he's kind of the subject of the conversation, at least right before the break. Before we get back to Mr. Wood, I just, and by the way, this is our final segment with Mr. Wood, and we owe him a debt of gratitude for his generous gift of time, because this is amazing, amazing information. But before we get back to him, folks, go to greenevative.com, greenevative.com. You know, they're a small company in Florida. They've created what's known as the GMAG Power Cell. This is the greatest little device I've ever seen. It's the Super GMAG battery recharger. It's got replaceable magnesium power plugs, and what it is, it'll charge about 6 1,000 milliamp hour AA or AAA rechargeable batteries in about 3 hours. You don't need sun, you don't need wind or a hand crank or anything like that. All you need is just about two teaspoons of table salt and a little water, and bang, you've got yourself a battery charger. Neatest thing I've ever seen. It's affordable, lightweight. It weighs about 8 ounces. It's durable, EMP proof, and environmentally friendly. It'll provide just a convenient and safe power source for recharging AA, AAA batteries when the grid's down, when the sun's not shining, and, you know, when you just need power. Hagman and Hagman listeners, listen to this. This month only, all right, you'll get... Now, this charges rechargeable batteries, all right? So you need those. This month only, January 2017, here's their offer. You get a set of 6 1,000 milliamp hour AA rechargeable batteries for each GMAG charger purchased. Just enter the coupon code HAGMAN. They'll do the rest. Simple as that. Greenovative.com. That's greenovative.com. One more time, greenovative.com. Promo code HAGMAN, and you'll love it. I've tried it. It's just an amazing device. It really is. You'll love it. Back to Patrick Wood. Wow is all I can say. Go ahead and continue. We're in our last segment here. We've got about 20 to 26 minutes to close this out. So, man, you have just gone through a lot of information. So we're going to turn it back to you, sir.
Well, you know, we talked about the book Brave New World early on, by Aldous Huxley. The fact that it was written in 1932, same year that technocracy was housed at Columbia University. Many people read that book. I had to read it in my English class. It was a classic by the time I went to high school. A lot of people haven't read it. The millennials mostly haven't read it, although they use the term Brave New World. But very few people know that Huxley wrote another book in 1958 called Brave New World Revisited. This was on his mind for a long time, 1932 to 1958. So you take a quarter century, he wants to take a look and revisit the whole thing again, right? And it was all about scientific dictatorship, and so the world had progressed a lot between 32 and 1958. And so he writes this book, Brave New World Revisited. And here's what he said. One thing he said, I lifted a quote out of it. I couldn't resist. This is a direct quote. The older dictators fell because they could never supply their subjects with enough bread, enough circuses, enough miracles and mysteries. Under a scientific dictatorship, education will really work, with the result that most men and women will grow up to love their servitude and will never dream of revolution. There seems to be no good reason why a thoroughly scientific dictatorship should ever be overthrown. Close quote.
Gives you the warm fuzzies.
And that's what he wrote.
Wow.
Now, having quoted him directly from his own book, my first reaction when I read that was that I took it as a challenge. In other words, I'll show you what can be overthrown, Mr. Huxley. you want to see overthrown, man? I'm gonna give it to you.
I love it.
And I would want your listeners to take it the same way. Don't just throw up your hands and run out the door and say, "Oh my goodness, we're all doomed." Well, you know, there's going to be trouble on the horizon, but you know what? The American people have proven themselves over and over to be able to provide solutions to the ills that faced us. And I'm not ready to count out America or the American people yet. Yes, it looks bad. Yes, we have enemies, very smart ones, very well-funded ones. Yes, we have ideologies coming at us that we've never heard of before. But Americans have proven themselves to be a resourceful bunch over the last 250 years. And I challenge my American friends, our brethren, so to speak. Some people use that term, you know. Right. I challenge them. Stand up and be counted, or forever hold your peace. Now is the time. Not tomorrow, not next week, not right. Next month. Now is the time to get moving.
Amen to that. We might not have another chance at this.
We won't. I don't believe we will. This is it. You remember, I wouldn't accuse you of playing 7-card stud poker, or being an expert at it. You could be. I just don't know. I wouldn't say it though. But everybody knows how you play poker.
Right.
And when you have the professional championship games and they all sit around the table, some with their hoodies on and some with their dark glasses or whatever, you know, playing for the big stakes, it's the last man standing, wins it all, right? And so you start out with six or eight people, and one guy goes broke, and then another guy goes broke, and whatever. And there's a condition just before a guy goes broke and he kicked out of the table where he gets challenged for a bet that he doesn't have enough money to cover, but he wants to stay in the hand. And so he takes all the remaining chips that he has and shoves them into the center of the table. In other words, he's got no more chips of his own. If he loses the hand, he loses everything. Right. They call that condition being all in. When you have shoved your whole pile of chips into the pot, you're all in. Right? There's no turning back. You can't, oh, wait, I changed my mind. I'm going to take it back. You can't do that. They'll break your fingers. Just don't do that, right?
Oh, yeah.
You put your chips in. You're all in. You're either going to win or you're going to lose. And if you lose, man, just get ready to get up and walk away from the table right now. Well, folks, we are, as a nation, all in right now. We're all in. We have no more reserves. We will not play another hand. This is it. We're all in. We better make it count. That's all I can say.
Wow. You know, when you put it that way, honestly, we are. That's where we're at. A lot of people think that we've got yet another hand, to use your analogy. One more hand. No, I don't think so. And especially, no, not when you put, when you're all in, you've got, I mean, that's it. You will survive on the cards that are played at that point. And, you're right. You're exactly right. And the way you framed all of this tonight in this broadcast is amazing to me when I sit and I look back over the landscape, over the bigger picture, as you have pointed this out, and how they have incrementally, the globalists have incrementally introduced this, and you know what this green movement really is all about, or I don't want to use that term. Well, this climate stuff is all about how all of this interconnects. You've really connected the dots on this, and the scientific dictatorship, and of course the as outlined in your book Technocracy Rising, and your website that is always ample, has ample news about what's taking place. Yeah, we're all in. What can we do? I mean, the change that needs to be enacted, of course, we need to fight back against this. Practical steps, a couple of practical steps here is get involved locally, I suppose. Kick them out, kick the chair out from them. Avoid the takeover.
Yes.
Educate people on this. I mean, that's a big thing.
The enemy is operating on data and intelligence. In fact, the subtitle of Khanna's book is The Rise of the Infostate.
Yeah.
They're beating us with big data. But we, unfortunately, are still ignorant about what is even going on at all. Well, if they're beating us with data, then the only hope for us is to counteract it, is to at least get a minimal understanding of what they're doing to us and how they're doing it. How can you fight an enemy you do not know? That answers itself. You can't.
Right.
You must know your enemy. And America does not know its enemy. It's sitting there basically sucking its thumb or smoking a cigar thinking that everything's just great now that, you know, we have a new president. We got rid of Obama. Mm-hmm. Or we didn't get Hillary. I'm sorry. Americans need to get educated on what's going on here. They need to get the data into their brain. And that's my hope, that people would read Technocracy Rising and start to open their eyes to this stuff and to understand it, because if they do not understand this enemy, they will never conquer it, ever. It's impossible. True. You cannot defeat an enemy you don't know. try and go out. I don't know if you know any martial arts. I'll assume for a second that you probably are not advanced black belt and something, but go walk down the street and pick a fight with some guy who is. But you don't know it. When you go and pick a fight with him and you call him a dirty, rotten whatever, or you get in his face or whatever, you don't know that he is of that skill level. And in about three punches, he's got you completely wasted on the ground. And you didn't see that coming. You know, it's like, whoa, what happened here? Well, you didn't know what you were doing, you see. Just, you ran into an enemy, you didn't have a clue. Well, this is what's happening right now with America right now. They don't have a clue about the enemy that we're facing, and they need to open their eyes.
That's right.
That's my hope. That's why I've been doing technocracy.news. This is the only website on the internet, anywhere in the world, that is dedicated to talking about technocracy. You will not find another website anywhere like this. There isn't. I've looked. That's why I did it.
That's right.
And so I'm curating stories from all over the world about technocracy and the different types of things, stories that fit this meme. That doesn't give you the basic understanding that you get when you read the book Technocracy Rising. Certainly it doesn't. Even listening to this interview is not going to give you all the data that you need. You need to keep going after it and keep digging. Get the book and read it. I put an anthology or a bibliography, excuse me, in the back of the book with 265 references on technocracy that I consulted to write the book. You want to do more research? There you go. The book itself has something like 250 footnotes in it as well. That, you know, you want to do further research? There you go. I put it all in there.
You've given us a marvelous tool. The book itself is great with information, the footnotes, additional avenues of research, and you've done a great job. Yes.
I recently did something else on my website that I'd encourage people to take advantage of. People still are asking the question, I just don't understand technocracy, and I get it. If you never heard of it before, I understand where you're coming from. And several people wrote me to that effect, by the way. I just created a special page on technocracy.news. There's a graphic image at the upper right-hand side of the screen called First Time? Quick Start Guide. And it's just right there.
That's a wonderful primer. Yes.
So I created a quick start guide, okay? I sat down for a few hours and I just made bullet points and little subtopics and stuff and, you know, tried to just lay it out. I put all my videos and stuff, my more important video interviews that I've done, right in line. I've got the book where people can order the book right there on that page. They can make contributions to our war on technocracy as well. And this is a place where people can get started. It's kind of like the directory at the mall, right? here's five articles. I'm going to go read some of those articles now. You can spend as much time as you want doing stuff like that, but I put it together on a single page where hopefully people can just kind of get into it more quickly than wandering around, you know, Technocracy News website. I posted over almost 1,200 stories, Doug, in the last year on technocracy. It's becoming a research powerhouse now. And I've got about 30 different categories to these stories, things like education, energy, food systems, global religion, even green economy, Internet of Things, the new urban agenda. You know, these are the things that relate to what we're talking to. Smart cities, smart grid, sustainable agriculture. That'll set your hair on fire. But you can go to these categories and click on a category, and like police state. I'm looking at that right now. You can click on that and you'll see all of the stories on the website that are categorized by police state. And I'm looking at nine pages worth of worth of stories here. So this becoming a research powerhouse as well for researchers that want to see, well, let's just, you know, zero in on one topic and see what it's got to say. You'll find all kinds of things to go look at. And I'm not writing these articles. I'm just taking the articles from other sources and making a few comments on it to put it in context, but basically I'm just showing you what these people are saying. And
it's amazing.
Okay. Yeah. So we need to pay attention.
You've done a great job with this. Yeah. Yeah. Indeed. And I do love that primer page, because a lot of people will, you know, they don't know. So this is good stuff. You've done a great job. Yeah, I really appreciate you coming by, and I really appreciate your gift of time. You've been a very gracious with your time, and certainly with your information. And I consider this one of the most important interviews that we've done with respect to technocracy or the bigger agenda. I mean, to look at the bigger picture, this is it. And I commend you. I commend your work, and I thank you.
I appreciate that. I made a decision about 18 months ago, Doug, that I was done talking to the quote-unquote leaders, you know, the politicians, whether it be politicians or you know, people that you think would care. And I just said, you know, I'm just going to go talk to the American people, because it's ultimately our solution anyway that has to take the day. So I said, I'm going to go talk to people. I don't care where I find citizens of our country. I'm going to go talk to them. And, you know, a program like yours has a lot of citizens. They may think they're nobodies. They may be nobody. Maybe they are nobodies. It doesn't matter. They're citizens of our country. And I'm dedicated to reach those citizens. The rest of the people, I don't care. Sooner or later, the citizens will go make them pay attention.
That's right.
But I'm all in for reaching the citizens of our country to get this message into their ears.
We are all in for assisting you in continuing on with the fight against to engage the battle in which we're engaged.
I appreciate that.
My brother, thank you so much. You've done it. You've taken us to the virtual end of our program. We appreciate your time. And do keep us posted. Any new ventures you have, let us know, and we'll be turning often to technocracy.news.
My pleasure. I will indeed.
All right. God bless, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you.
Excuse me. That's Patrick Wood. As far as I'm concerned, one of the most, if you listen to him carefully, and I would urge everyone, please do this for me. Take this program tonight and give it to a friend. Pass this along to a friend. The information that he provided, you know, Paul McGuire talks about Huxley, A Brave New World. He talks about the scientific dictatorship. We talk about this. We talk about all of these things. And one thing that Patrick Wood has done tonight, this interview, he identified a key player here. And really, now we have to set our sights on this man. I truly believe Parag Khanna. I bookmarked his site. I'm going to get his latest book and his other books as well. I want to study this guy, like Patrick Wood had advised. Because if we don't take his advice, so what? I mean, what good are we? And everyone is somebody. And we started out this program, John and I, and we started out by saying that we can all make a difference. We can make that difference. And again, everyone is someone. If you're listening to this program, you are someone. You're someone important. You're a very important part of the fight in which we are engaged. And in the closing moments here of this program here, I've got just a few minutes left. You know, I started out, as John said, I came in hot, and I did, because, folks, we're fighting a hell of a war here, and, you know, I don't think you really have to be on this side of the microphone to understand, although it does give you a different perspective, and I'm speaking from the heart now. In the things I've been seeing, I've only been doing the radio, the video, the radio, our own show. We've only been doing this for, 5 years or thereabouts, but the number of changes that we've seen. Well, if you take the last 12 months, it's almost a quickening of the last 5 years. And I really would like you to hear me very, very clearly on this. The enemies that are out there that are attempting to silence this news, and again, I would put Rick Wiles in this category, Dave Hodges, Alex Jones, Ted Brewer. Just, I mean, think of your program that you listen to, that you watch, along with all of the citizen journalists who we've brought on. The war that is waging right now, and I really wish I could be precise with you, is such like I've never seen. I've never seen the frenzy, and I'll say that word frenzy, the attempts to shut us down, some attempts you just never see coming. Some attempts, you just don't know what they are until you unpack it and say, "Oh my goodness, wait a minute." We've had people go to our sponsors and say, "You don't want to support this group, the Hagmann Report. You don't want to do that." And think about that. Do people have that right? I'm sure they've got that right. And I'll say this. All of our sponsors have basically said, shut up and go away. We've had people do things, I mean, from the most trivial, childish things to the most sophisticated. Over the last several months, our numbers have been toyed with because sponsors look at numbers. We've had federal and state agencies sicked upon us without any basis of complaint. You know what I call that? I call that a normal week nowadays. So when you see, and I know what other people are going through. So when you see the video clip of Alex Jones saying, you know, just kind of coming unglued and saying, man, you know, these people, damn them to hell. You understand I want you to understand what's causing that emotion. He's not wrong. This is what we're facing. And what I'm seeing, if we're facing it here as a radio show, you're going to be facing it as somebody on Facebook, as somebody at work, in your neighborhood, in your group, you are going to feel the same thing. It may not be in the same manner, but you're going to have that same blowback. And when that happens, you got to hit your knees. You got to just, you know, thank God that you're still able to be sucking air. But you also have to recognize that God is in control. God's got this. But do not understate or believe that this is hype. It's not hype. The war is fully engaged. And folks, it's only going to get worse. That was told to me. That was promised to me. And I do believe that. Are you ready for it? I know we're ready for it. It's easy to, you know, to have internet muscles, right? The bravado. Until you start taking on flack. Incoming. And I'll tell you what, it's tiring sometimes. It's discouraging. But I thank God every day for our listeners, And I thank God for people like John and JD and Jackie and Eric and Joe and all the people around us and our wives and those people who support us. But most of all, for you, the listeners, who stand by us and say, you know what? We're all in too. And thank you. Because we'll fight alongside one another. Folks, do saddle for battle. Do not lay back and say, hey, we've got some time. Prepare and pray. Tomorrow, we got a great show lined up for you. It's going to be the rest of the week. It's going to be about that. Well, tomorrow, Friday. God bless. Stay safe.